item number 12 from the Interim Director, Community Business Development Partners, requesting authorization to amend Section 42.02 sub 1 sub K of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinances as necessary to align the definition of small business enterprise with the Small Business Opportunity Initiative approved in the 2013 Milwaukee County Adopted Operating Budget. On April 25th, 2013, this item was referred back to the Committee on Economic and Community Development.
All right, this matter did include a county executive veto, which was read into the board record, and then a refer back vote was taken. It was unanimous, I believe. At that time, it was indicated by the chair of the committee, that is myself, that the committee would take the efforts to make sure we contacted all the chambers. Madam Clerk, as far as you know, all the chambers that were identified have been given a copy and notice of this meeting. Is that correct?
Yes. It is my understanding that Alexis took care of that.
All right. So that's the procedural with respect to where we are. I do have two public comment cards, so if anyone else is here to address item 12, please be sure you fill out a card and get it up to the clerk. We will start with Mr. Soler. Mr. Soler.
Thank you, Chairwoman. I am Nelson Soler, the Director of the Community Development Partners and your Milwaukee County Equity and Compliance Officer with the FAA and FDA and local spend programs. I thank Chairwoman Jurczyk and this honorable body for allowing me to provide you with these remarks, as there is a lot of misinformation regarding this item. It has created a lot of confusion among the business community. I hope you welcome my candor, as I'm professionally agitated regarding this issue. In my last 13 years of working with programs aimed at reducing discrimination and contract work, I have not found a perfect Title VI program. And I can attest to you that Milwaukee County DBE program is a good program, particularly for firms that are in the construction field, an area that we typically exceed goal attainment. But we still have a lot of work to do in many fronts. Our success with the Milwaukee County DBE program has been due to several reasons. One, CBDP positioning, that's Community Business Development Partners, positioning in the organization as an office. CBDP has been at the front end, not bearing a subdivision of a division that reports to the department. Our department has the same access that all department heads have in this highly hierarchical organization. The director, myself, of the department is a Milwaukee County officer with independence to how the contract process at any time if federal regulations, Milwaukee County ordinances, or state statutes are not followed. Success has also stemmed from the support that we have received from this body that has been a champion for our DBEs and always asked that uncomfortable question in every meeting: do you have DBE participation in that contract? Support has stemmed from key administrators that also believe, truly believe in this program. And despite of opposition, they work collaboratively with our office to ensure that those goals are imposed. I would like to mention that Mr. Greg High from Architectural Services, Mr. James Ponholz from the Department of Health and Human Services, Kathy Nelson, Airport Concessionary Manager, and Kim Berry, Airport Noise Management Program Project Manager. Among many others that do believe in the program, equally, there are people that do not. Of course, this can change anytime. 49 CFR 26.23, which is what we're discussing here today, this update was announced in 2010. There have been plenty of time to address the issue. 26.39 regulation was published, made public to all the recipients and to the market on January 28, 2011. At that time, turmoil occurred regarding the ordinance, because the regulation, because many people did not understand what the goals were. That's why corporate counsel at the United States Department of Transportation chose to create a guidance, basically a manual, answering questions. And that was published on 12-6-2011. We were mandated to create a program by February 28, 2012. Programs were filed. The amendments to the program was to accept that our program will include some strategies that are listed here. And I'm not going to read everything verbatim, but I want you to be aware of what 2639 reads. Your DBE program must include an element to structure contracting requirements to facilitate competition by small business concerns, taking all reasonable steps to eliminate obstacles to their participation, including unnecessary and unjustified bundling of contracts, requirements that preclude small business participation in procurement as prime contractors or subcontractors. You must actively implement your program elements to foster small business participation. Doing so is a requirement of good faith implementation of your DBE program. We were mandated to submit this on February 28, 2012. And after the program is accepted, we had 9 months for implementation. The strategies include a race-neutral small business set aside for prime contractors. That means no social disadvantage will be considered when we're certifying these businesses for this small business initiative. It includes or mandates bidders to identify themselves areas in which small businesses, including DBEs, can participate. It requires that on prime contracts, not having DBE contract goals, that the prime contractor provides subcontracting opportunities that are of size for small businesses, including DBEs. It also asks us to foster consortia. So if two small firms cannot bid on themselves or by themselves, let's say on a janitorial contract, we can get two or three firms to come together, form a joint venture, and then bid as a whole. A unique issue we have with our Milwaukee DBE program is that we only have one program for the entire county. And internally, since the program was created or merged, there have been some confusion regarding the program and different levels of commitment. When I joined here as a contractor back in August 2012, the first thing I did, and this board knows that, was to convene two groups, an internal group of stakeholders, which were primarily contracting officers, an external group of stakeholders as well. And one of the biggest complaints was the lack of clarity around the DBE program. So we took meaningful steps to ensure that that clarity happened. One of the things we did was trained over 80 managers. We had trained airport staff. We had trained all the department heads within the Department of Health and Human Services. We had trained IMSD staff, and the list goes on. But we had taken those meaningful steps. And what happens now is as we have brought clarity, we have become unpopular. As we bring clarity, accountability increases. As we bring clarity, transparency is demanded. So now individuals can now say, I don't know about that program. I don't know what a DBE is. I don't know how to set up goals in a program. To add to the complexity of all these Title VI programs, we only have 18 programs in Wisconsin, and most of them are not reciprocal. So from the business standpoint, most business owners get very confused and misunderstand how these programs work, which is unfortunate, but that's our reality in our environment. We're part of the Wisconsin Unified Program. That includes the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, County of Dane, and City of Madison. Another complexity that we have is that federal regulations typically provide us with guidance. Unfortunately, not everything is black and white. There is a lot of gray and discretion. They basically ask us, and pardon my analogy, to make a pasta plate with 500 calories or less, no meat, no mushrooms, but you have the freedom to pick the sauce that you want to use. So you can use marinara, Alfredo, and garlic butter. So when you select a sauce, there's always going to be somebody that do not like what your decision was. And that will always be the case for Title VI programs. Facts that need to be understood on the matter that you're handling today. The Small Business Initiative is not replacing the Disadvantaged Enterprise Program. It is a federally mandated initiative that can be used to achieve race-neutral component goals. The Small Business Initiative does not need to address all the strategies that I read to you in 26.39, but in any case, it is advisable that recipient addresses specifically contract bundling. If the recipient already has a small business initiative that is race neutral, for locally funded programs, credit can be given by using that initiative as part of your federally funded program. We're not required to report small business initiative goals. We're only required to report race neutral participation goals of DBEs. No technical assistance or monies available for DBEs can be used for this program, for this small business initiative. And the board has taken meaningful steps in partnership with the administration to create those resources. No jurisdiction has over a year with this program. The program was mandated in February 28, 2012, and people started submitting their programs, but they needed to wait for approvals, and the approvals have been all over the board. Milwaukee County firms' average DBE size is $1.2 million. If we take the standard deviation of those firms and their size, it comes around 3.8. The best performing group in our program are Caucasian females. They comprise 38% of all our firms. They receive 32% of all the awards, and they receive 32% of the dollars that we contract. Following that is African American firms with 32% of the number of firms, 23% in awards, and 18% in dollars. Milwaukee County currently, last time we measured was 2011, we're still working in 2012, spends about 11% on DBE funding. So that means that the other percentage is spent on majority firms. We achieved our goals in construction and related contracts ranging from 23.9 all the way to 26.9. So we're good because our goal is 25. We grossly underperform, I have shared this with you before, in professional services, which we always accomplish about 7%. We underperform in our procurement division, achieving a 5.9 of a 10% goal. And there, just so you have a point of comparison, the procurement division spends about $69 million a year. That's about the same amount that Wisconsin Department of Transportation spends on DBEs. So it gives you a relationship between the largest agency here spending $69 million in the marketplace, and we're only spending a mere 17.7 out of $151 million that our department tracks. Wisconsin DOT, as mentioned, has already articulated a microenterprise program. City of Madison has articulated a microenterprise program. Dane County has articulated a microenterprise program. CDBP announced formation of such program back in August 25, 2012. There was a lot of opposition from some people. There were people welcoming the program, but they wanted us to calibrate it. And we have strategically sought out advice to ensure that it's calibrated to make sense to our firms, which again, their average size is $1.2 million in revenue. CDP also did a presentation on the program during our expo, and many of you were present back in late fall. We held two internal stakeholder meetings where departments were represented, and we also heard two external stakeholder meetings. We held the four training sessions to accomplish our clarity in the program. Finally, it is my opinion that Milwaukee County does not need to be mandated to have strategies to increase a small, woman-owned, and ethnically diverse-owned enterprises. We just need to evaluate comprehensively the 24 ways a person can procure in our organization to include and facilitate the participation of small, woman, ethnically diverse enterprises. Only four of those 20-some ways include CDBP involvement. We'd rather need to address institutional barriers in our procurement and sourcing processes, as they are currently impeding small business participation, woman-owned business participation, ethnically diverse-owned business participations. Some of them are inconsistency in our project specifications. Some of them are the lack of rotation of time material contracts, engaging some project managers in what we call serial bidding, which is forbidden in the state. Collect information on vendors. We only collect name and perhaps address and phone number. We don't collect sales or average size. Create an enforceable mechanism that current prime vendors and prime consultants pay women and ethnically diverse businesses that they hire on time. Find out why 42 firms have failed under our watch. I have not received any letters. I don't know if this honorable body has or the chairwoman about the 42 firms that failed from any of the chambers. I have not received any letters from a large firm that failed and lost 50 jobs because on an airport project they didn't get paid. They had to go bankrupt. I want to understand, and we should understand, why we ask the self-employed to have a workers' compensation policy when the state law does not require that. We need to understand why Ordinance 32 calls for a purchasing and standardization committee with three private citizens and it's not in place, it's not active. We should be concerned about the 51 African American unemployed, the 33% loss of Latino wealth in our city, small mom business owners who are still low income and need to be acclimated to the United States, woman-owned businesses that still face competitive challenges in key industries. I thank you, all of you, for patiently listening to my remarks. I don't know for how long I will be your equity or compliance officer, but I did not accept this position to be popular. I took this position on March 9 to ensure that equity and compliance was upheld because I strongly believe that small women disadvantaged enterprises are key for us to come out of this economic challenge. No matter what this honorable body decides today, there will always be dissatisfaction with our Title VI program. Whether it's unbundling of a project, setting goals on a project, monitoring a project, conducting an audit, enforcing size standards by asking for tax returns, these challenges will continue. I want to share a quote that my sister shared with me this weekend. As you know, I was out of the country handling a personal matter. And she checked me in. I think it's very relevant to what we're dealing today. We cannot solve all the problems of the world by ourselves. I'm not attempting to do that. But each one of us, with courage, can make a small difference. I respectfully ask you to make a small difference today for 80% of the businesses that we represent by supporting this ordinance change. Thank you for your time and consideration. I will address any questions that the chairwoman and this honorable body has for me.
Mr. Soler, would you just summarize, and it's a very basic summarization, the change that was made with regard to section 42.021K of the Milwaukee Code, which is really what we did at the last meeting. And as I recall, I don't think anyone spoke to it, nor did we have any public comments. I believe you presented it and this committee voted on. But if you would just review for us what that change was.
The change is merely changing the 20.42 million amount to 4 million to engage and to serve the businesses in our census, which is our average size of firm is 1.2 million. We also look at the federal set-aside program for small business and women-owned businesses, which are 51% of our population that we serve here, and it's also 4 million. And the city of Madison proceeded with a 4 million program. County of Dane had 3 million plus a restriction of 15 employees.
Okay, but I just want, so we basically reduced the number to 4 million.
Correct.
All right. Before we get to the committee comments, there are blue cards, and I'd like to take the comments. These individuals have waited very patiently through a long morning. So starting with Charles Vang of the Hmong Chamber of Commerce. Mr. Vang.
The administration wants to speak as well.
All right. Well, let's do these comments, and then I will certainly allow you to. Mr. Vang.
Thank you, Madam, and also the supervisors. On behalf of the Hmong Chamber of Commerce, we represent a lot of small business, and I believe that as you check in, even though including the many of the minority program that are offered by the county as well as the city, there's not much of the list shown and, from the Hmong community. And today, I would like to support that new creation of that $4 million beside in the county here to really make that possible for so many of the businesses that we represent have the opportunity to really make that difference in the community. So I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you for your patience. Thank you for coming. Next, we have Carla Cross of the Business Council.
Good afternoon. My name is Carla Cross. I'm Executive Director of the Business Council, which is an affiliate organization of the Metro Milwaukee Association of Commerce. Our members are the size of, some have sales of less than 100,000 to companies that are nationwide with sales over 25 million. And I am a member of the Community Business Partner Stakeholders Group. And I've attended meetings and received information about the proposed change to the size, and I also attended a meeting May 1st of 2003 that explained the whole program in detail and with other members of the ethnically diverse business associations. Our organization had a supplier diversity program, or a module, that really served our larger firms. And over our 11-year period, these firms received over $180 million in businesses from corporations in the Milwaukee area. However, we did not necessarily have a program for our really small firms, and most of our members are under the $4 million size. So we support the change to the SBA size of $4 million because this would be a special program sort of that's targeted to those businesses and would help support us in bringing some additional maybe purchasing ability or contracts to them in this size. We also believe that this program will not impact the DBE program, so for our larger members, they still can participate in doing business with Milwaukee County with that size. And so for that reason, I support the change to the $4 million size. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for your patience. Next, we have Maria Monreal Cameron of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
Buenos dias, esteemed body. I am Maria Monreal Cameron. And like Mr. Soler, I am also passionate about expanding opportunity, certainly, and making sure that everybody is on the same page, singing the same hymn. I've been at the helm for the chamber for almost a quarter of a century. The sunset is coming fast, but before then, I guess there's one big fight left in me. We strongly oppose this ordinance resolution because they are based on a substantial departure from the federal guidelines and similar programs. While a $4 million threshold may seem to be a high limit when construction projects are being produced, a small business can easily exceed this. You need to keep that in perspective. Now, the problem here is, like Mr. Soler alluded to, the problem is there's a lack of clarity. There is a lack, there's a heavy, heavy, healthy dose of confusion over this ordinance. I am very concerned about the acceleration, the fast pace. We're not completely clear yet as a body what process was used to come to this low, to this threshold. The Chambers of Commerce were not contacted, nor was county procurement. Federal guidelines recommend that if a micro enterprise program is established, It should be established within a larger small business program. This was not done. My purpose for coming here and to wait patiently for my kick at the cat here is to ask the committee respectfully your thoughts on this, certainly, but to respectfully ask you that you delay taking action until we can come, we can convene as a group, we can study, we can analyze, and we can discuss. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for your patience. The next speaker, Dr. Eve Hall of the African American Chamber of Commerce.
Good afternoon. I am coming here on behalf of the African American Chamber of Commerce, and we, quite frankly, are supporting the $4 million. But as you can see, there are differences of opinion, and we're coming from the position of so many of our members. African American Chamber members are of that $4 million and below range. And as a part of our commitment to the Chamber, we must support this particular ordinance. Now, at this particular point, we know there's still questions. And we know that amongst the ranks with the other chambers, we have much discussion. But at the end of the day, we know that as a chamber, we must make sure that these businesses have an opportunity in this county. So with all due respect to the varying opinions, think seriously about the $4 million. But we also look to have numerous conversations with the county on all levels to see how, in fact, we can enhance opportunities for our small businesses. Thank you.
Thank you for coming, and thank you for your patience. All right, Arace, I know the administration would like an opportunity to address the committee and the procurement department. All right, please. Whoever you'd like to start.
Sure, I'll start. I just want to start by saying that the county executive believes that the goals of CBDP are actually critically important, and the decision-making process should reflect the importance of the goals. The county executive, for these reasons, objects the ordinance, and I'd like to give you two reasons why he does this. The first one is that it's not clear what process was used to determine that this option is in the county's best interest. The resolution states that CBDP included recommendations of representatives of partner municipalities and various ethnic chambers. However, the amount of actual community input appears to be minimal. Even the chambers who spoke in favor of the ordinance change did not know about the ordinance change until I talked to them prior to the county executive's veto. From my understanding, CBDP held one meeting in January where the stakeholders council was told there would be some sort of change to the small business definition.
Why don't you just put that on mute? I apologize. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Like I was saying, CBDP held one meeting in January where the Stakeholders Council was told there would be some sort of change to the small business definition. Outside of that first meeting, when the attendees were told there was going to be some sort of change, my research has indicated that the above-mentioned groups were not involved. A second meeting with the stakeholders was held only a few weeks ago in May after the county executive's veto to explain that the change had already occurred. Further, CBDP did not consult with anyone from county procurement through this entire process, even though they are professional experts and the change would impact them greatly. CBDP also did not consult with the county executive's office prior to the board voting on the change. According to federal regulations, as you know, the DBE liaison officer must have direct independent access to the county executive. The DBE officer does not have this kind of access, as demonstrated by the fact that CBDP did not bring this item directly to the county executive. We found out about the $4 million change when it was already on the agenda. The second major reason the county exec opposes this change is that we believe this change is actually more significant than you were led to believe. This extends the $4 million maximum and the personal net worth maximum to all procurement activities, not just the US DOT federal requirements. While this may be justifiable, I have been unable to get clarity on it. Moreover, if a locality creates a microenterprise program, the US DOT believes it is best practice to also provide opportunities to facilitate competition among other small businesses. In other words, if a microenterprise program is established, and this proposal is specifically for a microenterprise program, that the microenterprise program be a subset of a larger, more comprehensive small business program. Establishing a small business program with such small maximums could be problematic for procurement, and I'll let Mr. Lee talk about that more. Again, the county exec believes the goals of CBDP are extremely important, and we just want to make sure the decision-making process reflects the importance of those goals.
May I ask why you didn't inform us of this position at the last meeting?
Sure. Like I said, I found out about this change when it was already on the agenda. I believe that was a week before the committee meeting, so I didn't have enough time to do the research I needed to do. It actually took me quite a bit of time to really understand what this change was about and who the players were involved or were not involved.
It would certainly have been appropriate to have asked for additional time because you didn't understand something, to have provided no information and to have gone directly to a veto is, in my opinion, and I appreciate the committee giving me a little leeway, really a disrespect for the deliberative process, because I think this committee would listen. But would you like the procurement director to make any comments?
Sure, and I understand your concerns. I think a lot of this could have been avoided if we were involved on the front end helping make the decision, or at least hearing how the decision was made.
Hi, good morning. I'll speak specifically.
State your name, please.
I'm sorry. My name is Patrick, and the last name is Lee, procurement director for Milwaukee County. I'll speak specifically to two points, although I have a number of other ones. First point is the, as I understand it in conversation, that the federal guidelines request that or provide guidance related to the establishment of a small business enterprise. They provide insight to use the Small Business Administration's guidance in regards to what is a small business. If an entity decides not to use that guidance, they request that if you do decide to use a micro enterprise process, that there be accommodations and outlines in regards to dealing with the organizations between the micro level and the historic small business thresholds. But I guess specifically to the point of the $4 million that we're discussing here today, it's my understanding and concern that this single action will define a small business for Milwaukee County in totality, specifically as it relates to procurement activities. An example of the impact is that procurement has the ability currently to provide a set-aside for small business enterprises as defined in 42021K. But, quote, only where competition exists during a competitive bid. A hard cap having no regards for industry will impact by design the composition of the pool and the existence of competitive vendors. It also appears CBDP has a set-aside authority, which I'm not arguing for or against, but they have the set-aside authority on all professional, non-professional, and construction contracting as given them in 4206 and 4207. And those vendors' pools would also potentially be impaired on a competitive basis. But I guess I meant a real high level expressing, at least purely from a procurement perspective, is that you're setting a cap on what a small business is, regardless of the industry in which they provide services, the products that they provide, the vendors, who they are, and the potential trends within a given industry. So that's, I guess, at a very, very high level, my concern in having Milwaukee County determine solely based on $4 million what a small business enterprise is for this purpose. In fact, in the revision that you're looking at, 4202, the definition, the original text, and it still remains there, it still does have the word depending on industry, which in fact the $4 million does not include. So even as the ordinance revision is written, it does invoke depending on industry when in fact it does not. And I think from a procurement perspective, various industries have various thresholds and various competencies based on those thresholds. So thank you for the opportunity to speak.
If I can add one more, Dr. Coulter.
I understand the $4 million is beneficial to a lot of the chambers that have spoken. We're saying that $4 million may not be the only option to define a small business. I think, like was said before, you can have a small business program of which a part is a microenterprise $4 million cap. We just think limiting it to that could be problematic, and we're asking for a chance for the chambers to get together with county procurement to talk through the best options. I don't think this necessarily is the only option.
All right. I would like to bring Mr. Soler up in for a follow-up comment now that he's heard your comments. Let me ask this. Have you expressed these concerns with Mr. Soler and his department or with the chairwoman?
I reached out to Nelson after the county executive veto to talk through this. I did not get a response back. I emailed him a couple times, I believe, since, and have not heard back.
Well, you did have a meeting with him because I was at that meeting, correct?
Right. At that point in time, I was told that the decision to get to the $4 million cap was made based on conversations with the Chambers of Commerce. So I was led to believe that the chambers were involved in the decision and they were all bought into it. My research indicated otherwise.
And you're stating now that that's not correct?
From contacting the various chambers of commerce in Milwaukee, they told me they were not contacted about this change.
Can you be specific? What chambers did you contact?
I believe the ones that spoke here today.
All of them? All of those that spoke
what
here
today? What chambers? I don't believe.
American
what chamber?
Hispanic Chamber, Milwaukee Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce.
MMAC. Any others?
Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, African American Chamber of Commerce.
Did you contact the Hmong Chamber of Commerce?
I personally did not, but I believe they told someone else they were not involved in the decision-making process.
All right. Thank you. We're going to call Mr. Soler back. Please, thank you. All right, Mr. Soler, I'll permit you to make any comments in reply to any of the four speakers or from the administration.
Well, there seems to still be a confusion that was said that this is a diversion of a federal regulation. Federal regulation specifically states that a microenterprise program can be created. If this will be against the federal regulation, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, the largest recipient of federal funds in this state, will not have created a microenterprise program. If this will have been the case, the city of Madison will not have created a microenterprise program. If that will be the case, the county of Dane will not have created a microenterprise program. This goes back to my example, pardon the example again. It's just merely that I'm using marinara sauce, and some people don't like marinara sauce. The program is permissive, is within the federal regulation, and we do have a large, big, well-established small business program in this county. It's called the DBE program. It has been a small business program for 13 years, and we do not attain the goals only in the construction field. $17.7 million spent out of 151, we can do better. And we don't need to have a microenterprise program to increase that. It can be increased within the current systems that I explain and share with you. There are many things we can do together in partnership with administration, working collaboratively in a transparent manner to accomplish that. Set-aside authority, I don't have set-aside authority. I want to clarify that. We have goal-setting authority. Set-aside for DBE firms is illegal. We cannot do set-asides for DBE firms. We can only set a goal based on actual census of firms available to do the work. This program is properly implemented, which, by the way, has to be implemented this month or will be out of compliance, requires us to take meaningful steps to implement set-asides for small businesses, but it's one of the five strategies we have available at our disposal to use. It's not the only strategy. So we can still explore ways to increase small business participation using other means. This program is part, I want to clarify that, part of the DBE program, the existing program, and it's federally mandated. And also, 88% of our dollars are already going to small enterprises and Main Street firms. So we're not impairing that ability at all.
Mr. Soler, would you respond to the comment that you did not speak with the chambers or have input from the chambers?
The chambers were convened on 8/25/2012. All chambers attended but the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And I don't want to, I mean, we are all busy. There are many of us trying to gather the input, so it's not to be marked or being considered negatively. But I did send a recap of what was discussed to all the chambers in my list.
Would they have been invited?
Yes. Okay. Then I proceeded on the 25th with a second meeting request. And because that was a meeting we were talking about this, we heard from most chambers some excuse, but there was the Hispanic Chamber did not have Maria. Unfortunately, she's very busy. She's a great person. She wasn't available. So I talked to Mr. George Franco, and he sent Erica Steele to represent the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce in that meeting. So that there was a representative in that meeting. And from 1:25 through the time that I went to agenda setting, I sent a couple of communications to people asking, is there any feedback? Nobody gave me any feedback prior to the agenda setting. And in the, before I sent the item to your agenda, it was sent to both offices. It was sent to the chairwoman's office and to Mr. Abley's office as well. County Assessor.
All right, I'm going to open it up to the committee. Now, the action of this committee previously was unanimously supporting the resolution, and we actually do not have to do any action. We can just stand on what was previously done. So that's the procedural history. Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I'm the process. I'm not quite sure what you're looking for from the committee. If you can just explain it. Do you want another motion to approve or a motion to reconfirm?
I think if you want to do that, it would be a motion to reconfirm the prior action of this committee. In other words, it would just be to recommend that we stay with the position. Jessica Jans-McKnight, is there...
Madam Chair, Supervisors, it would be a motion to affirm, the position that was already taken.
Because we've already taken a formal vote on this.
Correct.
I would then like to make that motion.
So we have a motion to affirm. Anyone else on that motion? Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess a couple questions came up, and I'll, can you give me timelines again so I can understand, and I need a little more guidance than the other members of the committee, obviously, here. But a couple of things we heard is that do you have any obligation, or is it just part of the process to talk to procurement about this, or you know what their exact role is? And you know, I heard about the totality of the $4 million has hurts other areas or that the federal guidelines are being violated. So could you go through that again for me, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Let's walk through the timeline. This was done on February 28, 2012. I joined the county on August 2012. And the first meeting I can be on 8/25, so that was right on my radar. We need to do something about many things, and this was one of them. As far as answering as an obligation, I think that we internally have tried to outreach all the departments. You have received emails that I have sent in early September of the people that did welcome the opportunity to come and be part of this process. And we have a lot of internal commitment. At the time, I don't think our current procurement director was part of Milwaukee County. So he came in a little bit later. But we did have procurement representation in our discussions of this program. And many administrators felt, well, great. Now we have a program that can be open to non-minorities and non-females, so now everybody can participate. I have some people asking me when the application was ready so they can send information about their son or the costing and things like that. So it was welcomed very well, but they were not understanding that this is another tool within the DBE program. This is not a new program. This is mandated to have a small business initiative that has a race-neutral component. And that has been chaired prior to my arrival. Affects all these areas. Everything that is done in this county affects every other area because we're part of a larger unit. Ordinance 42 does cover four areas of procurement within our organization, correct? Not procurement as a department or subdivision, but in general, the airport, transit, and the other 17 departments that also work with us. Just to put in perspective in terms of number, $151 million were tracked by our office, and I have been in front of you that many people do not include us in their spending. And of that 151, only 69 were procurement. Okay, procurement has a 10% goal. So that's only less, it's less than 50% of who we get involved. So we did get representatives from all different departments. And as far as the federal regulation, it is permitted to have a microenterprise program. There's a website that Corporate Counsel in Washington generated. I'll be happy to send you the link. And all the same questions that have been posed here have been posed before. And my concern is, this has been going on since 2011. If people really are genuinely interested in small businesses, this could have been done prior to my arrival to Milwaukee County. DOT did it prior to us, and the same arguments were posed to them, and they went ahead and implemented it. So if it would have been against federal regulations, it wouldn't have been implemented.
Thank you. Thank you.
Supervisor Mayo and then Supervisor Bowen.
Madam Chair. That I will be confirming this again. And when the person from Mr. Lee from the procurement, when he stated 42.1K, Milwaukee County do not have a set-aside program. And it's been illegal. And if he could come up, even though he might be in the ordinance, he need to make sure that he needs to clean up the ordinance, because if you can go back before your predecessor, and I've been here for 19 years, we have never had a set-aside program that we can use federal dollars for that. That then, even before we had an MBE and WBE program here. So even though it may be in there, we need to clean our ordinance up to make it properly right, because we have not had a set-aside. Second of all, if we had a set-aside program, and the federal government has stated earlier that we can have a set-aside program for small business at the airport enterprise, we have not even done that yet at the present moment. And that's been in effect for 10 years. So if you can go back, and I know you're short tenure, we always have problems with procurement about even meeting the goals when we had MBE and WBA. And we went to race neutral or race stuff, we still have same concerns about that. You may have an argument about they not have not contact you and put your input. But when you start stating stuff that is not accurate, and if you go back to the federal guidelines, I'm surprised.
Right. Let's keep the comments directly to the chair.
I did.
Mr. Lee, would you like to respond?
Yes, Madam Chair. It very well may be correct, but I was asked to speak in regards to the $4 million cap and what impact it would have based on the ordinances that are currently in effect. And for example, mentioned 4207, it's section 2 states that he does have the authority during the development in the DBE participation recommendation form for each project. CBDP will establish where feasible a percentage up to the total contract value of prime contract and subcontract awards to be set aside for participation by SBEs during the DBE participation recommendation review. Set aside as a reserving of a contract or a portion of the contract exclusively for participation by SBEs, regardless of the owner's race or gender. So it's still contained. I was addressing it was still contained within the ordinances that that department, right or wrong, has that ability based on the definition of what we are now defining as an SBE of $4 million. And that was the current concern that I was expressing.
Madam Chair, can I clarify that, please?
Please.
We're getting confused again on DBE and SBE. Those are definitions. So we have three programs. We have the Airport Concessionaire Program, ACDBE. We have the DBE program. Their concessionaire program is part of the DBE program. This small business initiative is part of the DBE program. Now, if we define as part of the DBE program an SBE component, because this is an initiative, correct? We define a component. On that component, when we're looking at totally race-neutral participation, which will be the ordinance we're discussing or the change we're discussing, we have the authority to do set-asides, but we don't have the authority to do set-asides on DBEs. I just want to make that clear. It's just a definition issue that is creating the misunderstanding.
And I was not...
Mr. Lee, you're going to have to be recognized. Tell me, do the two of you gentlemen communicate with each other? Mr. Lee?
No.
Okay. That's part of the problem. You do not use a committee process to have a airing of a breakdown of communication. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to finish this today. I'm not going to get involved in... we get criticized if we get involved with administration. This is an administration breakdown, and I'm not going to go there. But the committee's going to finish today. That, Mr. Tyler, I'm not going to go there. Mr. Supervisor Bone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to clarify with Director Solar. How many businesses above that $4 million cap would be affected? I've seen the 95% figure that a majority of DBEs fall in that cap, but what does that 5% look like?
Well, we have, as you know, our program, each business graduates. It's a graduation program when they reach an average size for the last 3 years. So that varies from a landscaping firm is $7 million. For an architectural firm, it could be $4 million. For highway construction, is $22.4 million. So that's the absolute maximum a firm can be within us. In terms of analyzing our DBEs, the ones that we have certified, about 393, about 10% are, you know, within that success rate of getting very close to be out of the program anyways as a DBE because they have reached that maximum average revenues in the last 3 years. And there are a lot of issues with that that small businesses have put forward, but we cannot solve that here. That's a federal issue as they define what small businesses are and what participation in DBE, SBEs, and all the different programs have.
Right. And not making this change, would that contribute to a small amount of larger DBE firms that are
could
constantly
be.
Getting the advantage?
Could be affected, correct.
Okay. And I just wanted to point that out because I think that's important to just note the direction that the county and the county board has already approved to go into. From what I've seen, even on the Community Business Development Partners, Procurement Council, I see John Zaffo from the Executive's Office on there. I see Amos Owens of the Procurement Office on there as well. Even in this communication, it notes the SBE change in the direction. So to say that entities did not know, and even, again, with the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Erica Steele was at that meeting. This is something that has been in the works, and people were already in line to know that this direction was going to be had, but to say that no communication has been made or to say that Nelson did not do his part and the evidence shows otherwise is false. So I think we should move forward, affirm what we've already done, and thank you for your work on this.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to vote to affirm the previous decision made by this committee. And I think it's helpful at least to understand that there has been an acknowledgement that there hasn't been communication between the two offices. And that's important because for the 13 years that I've been here, I've recognized that that's been the case. We even have ordinances that we've tried to reconcile because we still have departments that do not comply with what the Office of Community Business Development Partners gives them as far as asking them for requests regarding contracts. Mm-hmm. This still doesn't happen. So I hope that from this time forward that there can be some reconciliation, at least some discussions, because, again, I've been here for 13 years as county supervisor, and I know that the procurement department has its own, because due to ordinances, has its own rules, but sometimes that insulation has been problematic over the years. I just wanted to state that. It's not my intention today to start any conflicts or to aggravate any conflicts, but I just wanted to state what the history has been. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And I did appreciate your history on the board floor. All right, committee, any other comments from committee? All right, I'm going to give Dr. Race just lost your last name there, and Mr. Lee and Mr. Soler, one more follow-up each, and then we're going to be finished.
Thank you, I appreciate it. I just want to follow up on a couple of things. I don't think it's fair to beat up on procurement. I believe they have tried reaching out to CBDP several times and without any attention, as evidenced by the fact they did not know anything about this $4 million until it was in front of this committee. The second piece is the January meeting that has been referred to a few times. The meeting minutes of that meeting indicate that although they talked about that there would be some sort of change, what the change is was not discussed at that meeting.
Are you done? Mr. Lee, did you have anything else?
Yes. Madam Chairwoman, you asked me a direct question, and I gave you a direct answer.
And I appreciate that.
No. I would welcome a response to my numerous emails to the CBD department, requests for face-to-face meetings, requests for information. I look forward to the opportunity to be working with them.
Right. Are you finished? Mr. Soler.
Is there any question on the floor for me?
Well, you just heard the comments that responding to them or communicating.
We have been communicating. Again, as you said, we shouldn't be handling communication issues. I just got to alert you to the fact that since September, we have been, every single decision that has come to my department has been challenged through corporate counsel. On every contract, I had tried to run through procurement, and that's my last comment. And that's what has stemmed this disconnect. I welcome the opportunity to talk to Mr. Lee. We work with Amos very well, up to the point that these things started to happen, in which our decisions were not respected, and rather they were sent to corporate counsel to confirm and concur. And that's the truth. I have plenty of emails on the matter. To situations that are extremely, extremely uncomfortable, and that I further what I share with you my agitation. Because one thing that I have proposed is I came here, all the environments I work with has been collaborative, in which we work straightforward, talk to each other, convene Venus, come here, let's talk about things, and I haven't felt that here. I cannot change the culture in Milwaukee County. I cannot change the fact that my program or the program that I'm managing for you is not popular. I cannot change the fact that some people are going to like the garlic sauce and some people are like the marinara. All I can do is try my best. And all those things have been documented. And as Supervisor Boeing stated, I always put return receipts on my emails. So I do get return receipts when people receive my emails and they open them.
Supervisor Taylor.
Well, I think Supervisor Johnson made a good point of moving, how we move forward and in terms of communicating with each other. I mean, I go back to, why are we even here today? I asked my colleague to the right if he was the one that argued about referring vetoes to committee. That's not really a good precedent. And I went along with it, and I'm trying to sit here today saying, why do we even do this? Because this was passed in March, all right? Then, I'm reading an April 23rd letter from the Hispanic Chamber urging the county exec to veto this. Well, guess what? That same day, the county exec vetoed it. We didn't receive that veto till the day before the meeting. And I got up at that last board meeting and said, you know, do we have to wait till the last minute? Like, what effort does the county executive actually give towards the communicating with us? So then, back 3 weeks ago, we refer this veto to this committee. And for 3 weeks, I don't hear anything from upstairs. Nothing. So how do you expect, why would you even think I would change my mind at all when you read just the two-paragraph, not you, but the doctor, read two-paragraph of why they don't like what's in front of us. I mean, there's talking about effort. I think when I said this on the board floor, I'll say it again. We need a better effort from upstairs. I mean, I'm here every day. A lot of us are here every day. Pick up the phone. I mean, lobby us. Try to, you know, give us a reason to change our mind. But you haven't. And since I've been here, never once has I seen any effort from the third floor to the second floor asking us to listen to their viewpoint. Instead, it's a one-page veto message and then nothing for 3 weeks. And you expect us to change our minds.
Thank you. I can just say that because this is the Economic and Community Development Committee, I think it is a good practice to notify all the economic development committees, commissions, associations throughout this county. And going forward, not just for this meeting, we will send our agenda to all economic community associations, chambers, et cetera, so they have an opportunity. So that was one of the main reasons I asked the board, and I think it was a good move. That doesn't mean we're going to change our mind. I agree. I haven't heard anything today either. So any other comments from committee? Otherwise, we're going to call the motion to affirm. Hearing nothing, motion to affirm, please.
Supervisors Bowen?
Aye.
Mayo?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Weishan?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
Madam Chair?
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to affirm is approved.
I want to thank all the individuals that waited all morning for waiting and making your comments. Thank you for participating. All right.